Be curious, not furious. I personally am attracted to people that challenge me. I've always strived to set a great example.
Hello, and welcome to our last episode of the year here at Venture Visionaries. As always, I'm your host, Thomas Egemen. And today I'm joined by Rob Myers, Managing Director and Partner at Versus, a creative and production studio that's known for pushing the boundaries of storytelling in brand development, sports, and entertainment. Now, Rob has a unique background that blends a passion for screenwriting with an untraditional approach to leadership, all cultivated through these early influences like his grandfather's storytelling and the impact of 80s and 90s pop culture. In this episode, Rob shares insights into the rebellious culture at Versus, their journey from commercial work to creating their own original intellectual property, and the ways that technology, particularly AI, is transforming storytelling. We're going to discuss curiosity, empathy, and how embracing diversity of thought is critical to creative collaboration. And so whether you're in business, technology, or the creative field, Rob's story and approach are going to give you a fresh perspective on the intersection of innovation and storytelling. Without further ado, let's get started. There are many ways to describe what you do, but one of the ones I like to use is a storyteller. What about your early life or early influences shaped your approach to storytelling and brand development, do you think?
There's a couple of ways I could answer that. I would say that from my very, very, very early childhood, my grandfather was a huge role model for me. He helped shape everything about myself. He was a professor of literature at NYU and was a master storyteller. Everything from bedtime stories to just generally how we would interact with one another, he could always embellish on the normal or the banal, to be honest. This is a guy that was incredible at making a game out of routine chores. So I would be raking the yard and somehow thinking that I was having the best day ever doing that. You know, I learned very, very early on that the way we sort of shape moments, same as how we can shape stories. And, you know, I think that fed into my love of doing that. I think I also was absolutely that child of the 80s and 90s who lived by the television, went to the movies consistently. And I think the sum total of that drove me towards storytelling being some cornerstone of what I wanted to do for a living. I originally went to college and studied to get a screenwriting degree. I thought film was ultimately the end goal for me. And, you know, along the way, once I graduated, I started to see other ways that I could tell stories and eventually found my way into advertising, which is where I am to this day.
When you think about either your grandfather or any early mentor influencers, you described a little bit about how they influenced what you decided to do, but I'm curious about how they influenced how you decided to do it. How do you describe your leadership style, and what are some of the influences that you think have shaped your vision for that?
I mean, I think tapping into that same sort of core set of memories, my leadership style has traditionally been to lead by example. You can learn so much more by watching people than necessarily being lectured by them. I've always strived to set a great example for anybody. You know, this predates Versus, for anybody that was under my leadership, anybody that was on my team. So that's very important to me, is being able to show people just as much as say things. I think that ultimately my leadership style also depends on communication. I'm very, very eager to hear all sides of a story. And I mean that even in the sense of, like, when we're interacting with our clients and there's a question about how to react to, you know, a current challenge or something, I'm a big talk it out kind of person. I want to hear what my producers think. I want to hear what their suggestion is, and I want to hear the reasoning for that suggestion. If I feel like they're going down the wrong road, then I feel very comfortable countering that and giving them something that comes from my experience that they could perhaps tap into. But ultimately, I definitely don't think of myself as a necessarily vocal leader, more quiet type.
How would you describe who you guys are and the value that you bring?
One of the things that gets me excited, that makes every day that I actually go to work so invigorating, is the fact that I wound up helping to create a place and a sense in this industry in Versus that is a little rebellious and a little anti-establishment and a little non-traditional, and all for the betterment of our relationships and our partners. When we're working with our clients and we're turning them into partners, the most important thing for me is that they understand that when we attack things from, you know, a little left of center on a brief, we're doing it because we're trying to find ways that they haven't seen to approach things, or ways that they can maximize their budget and get more for their money. We've always been sort of this underdog, over-delivering entity that really, really wants to look out for the best interests of our partners, even beyond what their requests of us might be. I think it's fun to have that sense of challenge every day when you go to work. I think what we do is always essentially look to give the experience to our clients that they're being cared for, not just having somebody like answer their requests.
When did you decide it was time to forage out on your own? What gave you the confidence to do it so differently?
I am fortunate enough to have gained all of my experience under a series of small businesses and entrepreneurs who really shined a light on what it takes to succeed in this business. Up until the last company I was at prior to Versus, I had never been in a company that was bigger than 10 people. I learned how you have to wear very many hats. There is no clocking in or out. I learned that it's important to look at the culture you're developing, both for your clients and for your employees equally. These are all things that I sort of digested or ingested, probably not even realizing I was doing it at the time. And I think I ultimately reached a place where it did feel like I needed to strike out on my own to do something and tap into the experiences that I had, because it did feel like I eventually arrived at a place where I felt like I was towing the company lines more than doing what I thought was right.
Who is the kind of person who is attracted to working at a place like Versus Culture?
I'll start with them because I think that's important. I think what I've always found attracts people to Versus is a sense of ownership over things, a sense that they will be heard, a sense that they will have the opportunity to shape the work that we do. I think we are incredibly collaborative, both across production, sales, and creative. We are not a shop that necessarily all runs through one filter, whether it's a design look or a director's point of view. So I think people are attracted to having that opportunity because I don't think that's necessarily typical. I personally am attracted to people that challenge me, like right off the bat. I think the worst interviews that I've ever had with people when they're interviewing with me are people that don't poke and prod, don't come equipped with a lot of questions. You know, just generally speaking, I also want people to show every side of themselves when they're here. I think that we have an incredibly diverse team here, and I think it opens up so many opportunities for everybody here to expand their skill sets, their experience level, their understanding of different walks of life. I think that it's very important to me that I continue to grow the company in that manner.
Do you have a story of an example where you felt your people push back on you?
No, I can't answer that because I'm always right. I mean, it's one of those things where it's not so rare that I have like so many specifics about it. I will say that there have been times when I'm talking with my partner and trying to toe perhaps the line on, you know, our profitability or our margins or something, and he's pushing to invest more in a project that he'll absolutely change my mind. I mean, that's kind of an easy one for me, right? Because I'm always going to invest in us. There's definitely many people across our team, I would say, have had the opportunity to tackle something that was very important to them and bring it to my attention. And I would like to say that I'm very open-minded about that.
So you guys started in the world of more traditional commercials. You've moved and transitioned into creating original IP. Was there something that prompted this shift? Was it always a goal that you had, or did you stumble upon it?
Let's start with why we did it. I would say that it felt like a natural extension of where the company was going. I think we started out, as you mentioned, not just in a more commercially driven place, but also from a much more executional standpoint. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we all brought a lot of creativity and a lot of conceptual thinking to the projects that we did. But on the whole, Versus started out from a very design-driven, VFX-driven place. And over years of experience, we were able to expand into offerings that were editorial, live action, more finishing, more strategic. We kind of brought all these capabilities into the company. And once we had all of that at our fingertips, the ability to take an idea and see it all the way through, going into long form development or IP generation seemed like a very, very natural evolution for us. What was interesting for me is we always did sort of start the company from an idea of focusing on the message and not the medium. That was more defined in the early days as not wanting to have like a specific style that Versus was known for. A lot of wonderful companies that we compete against every day have made, you know, incredible livings creating a look and repeating that look. And I don't mean to say that in a derogatory manner, but I say that there are a lot of places that, you know, are known for a style and companies will continue to go to them because they'll say, hey, company X does that very well. And so they'll wind up doing the same job again and again. That seems very stale to myself and my partner. I think we always wanted Versus to be a little bit like a Rorschach test, right? Like what you see in us is what we will deliver back to you. So getting back to our originals team, between those aspects of our evolution, we came to a point where we were like, I think it's time for us to start generating our own stories. We had a lot of opportunities, a lot of team members that come from various places where they were part of development teams or they were part of documentaries or features in another space. So we were able to tap into that to start generating our own IP. And I think IP is really the word that I tap into more than long form, which is also an evolution over the last couple of years, because it's less about us making documentaries or features or limited series. We have several publishing items in development right now. We have a novel that is going to be published next year. We have a graphic novel series that we're doing in collaboration with the Explorers Club that we're incredibly excited about. And all of this may one day reach the screen, but the screen isn't the deciding factor of what we're creating right now.
You mentioned a lot about the creative power that comes from being able to leverage those ideas and growing, but do you experience any challenges by bringing together people who come from such different areas of expertise and backgrounds?
I mean, I absolutely wouldn't think of that as overcoming a challenge. That's absolutely the way I would want to create a team, is to have those very diverse points of view. I recently read an editorial and it so encapsulated, I think, the thinking that we have from our original development, which was somebody posed a question of what would the difference be if you asked a railway engineer to create a train or if you asked a Disney Imagineer to do it? What would you get out of that? There's no wrong answer here. Both will arrive at something that is probably remarkable. The railway engineer is going to focus on things like efficiency or focus on things like capacity for what the train can hold, how quickly it can get from places A to B. The Imagineer is not going to care about that one bit. They're going to care about the experience. They're going to care about what do you do to create a train that somebody has so much fun being on that they don't want to actually leave. I think it's really exciting when you approach things like that. And I think that's really what we do when we're putting together our longer narrative opportunities, is we look at the story and we try to find a way into that story that is very different from how somebody else would do it. Stories are everlasting, and culturally speaking, we're still telling the same stories over and over again. I mean, the hero's journey is absolutely something that goes back thousands of years and gets put on the silver screen every month. How do you make that different is the challenge everybody has. And I think the way we approach it with voices that are coming from very, very diverse backgrounds is what makes the bit of a differentiator for us.
What are some of the originals and IP content you've worked on that you're most excited about?
All of them are incredibly exciting for different reasons sometimes. I mean, obviously, they're all exciting for the same reason, because I think we're all innately or just want to make something happen. We have some things that we are developing right now in collaboration with the Explorers Club, which is an amazing 100-and-something-year-old gentleman's type club that is based on the experiences of people that have gone to the Marianas Trench, to the top of Everest, to space. All of these explorers' tales have never really been told in a way that are so tactile as a graphic novel. And it's very, very exciting to be able to break ground in that area. I mean, their tales have been told in documentaries and we've read them in textbooks, but like to get this very visceral and very tactile experience of putting together a graphic novel in collaboration with them is incredibly exciting to me. We are working on something wildly different in the reality space, working with celebrities. Like, there's so far apart from each other, but they still deliver the same challenge and the same promise, which is, I think, that sort of uniting aspect of it all.
As you've scaled your company, you're actually a global company now. What was the impetus where you realized, oh, in order to do this, we're going to need to go beyond the United States? What advice would you have for another leader who felt like they were at that juncture that you'd want to invite them to consider?
Taking a global reach with our team, again, was something that was both felt natural as well as, you know, was somewhat scary. There was a moment pre-COVID where I think people would look at tapping into overseas artists a little bit differently and maybe a little bit more negatively. When we all evolved and wound up in a place where the office space did not dictate the way the work got done, it opened up a lot of opportunity, and I think it opened up a lot of people's minds. And then it's on both sides of the aisle. I think in my own sense, it opened up the opportunity to feel like I could find so many more creative collaborators because I didn't have to worry about, oh, well, they have to come to the office to be able to use our machines, to be able to work under our watch. All of a sudden, the whole world is like literally opened up to you. You kind of get boxed in when you're just focusing on a small area of a talent pool. The amount of skill that we see from our collaborators in South America and in Europe, it's mind-boggling how talented and how eager and excited and joyous they sometimes are to be working with a company that's based out of New York. There's so many ways that you see this change the way you do your business, and there are some very practical things that happen. Clearly, markets are dictated and finances are different from place to place. And I'd be foolish not to say that there are some areas where you're able to make a budget stretch by working with different artists. But also, you get your eyes opened to so many other ways of approaching a project, both conceptually or technologically, when you're not just doing it the standard way that you do it here in, you know, the States.
Do you have an example or a story where working globally really shifted the direction of a project?
I don't know if I would say that I have too many examples of it shifting the direction so much as amplifying the creative. I think that we've a wonderful team that we've built in South America that has enabled us to take much bigger swings when it comes to time-consuming and labor-intensive types of creative, like cell animation or character animation. That's definitely something that's opened up opportunities for us that might have been difficult for us to manage otherwise.
One of your aims, kind of zooming out a little bit for Versus Originals, and that I read somewhere, was storytelling that impacts culture. What does that mean to you?
For us, you know, what I've ultimately learned is that creative can be shaped by something very, very small or by something very, very big. It can be shaped by the style in which we tell it, whether we bring animation to something that's traditionally not animated, whether it's something that takes massive leaps by using AI or new tech to achieve a new look, feel, or style, whether it's finding voices that don't get heard and giving them a platform to do that. You know, we had an amazing documentary that our team put together that was, we premiered it last year, called The Choice is Yours. And it was a very intimate look at how it's very difficult to age in hip hop, which is a story that's not sexy. It's probably a little scary for some people to want to tell because it shows that there is a very big difference between how we treat people that are rock and roll stars and how we line up to see them in enormous arenas in their 70s and 80s and how hip hop stars are forced to play small clubs in their 40s and 50s. You know, it was very exciting for us to really get granular and get emotional and do something to sort of get that message out there.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me, I was poking around and I believe that your team was responsible for the animation portion in I Am Paris.
We were.
I immediately thought of that when you mentioned thinking about the only thing that is different is what is the mode of storytelling that we're saying now. And I, without going into too much detail, the use of animation in a live action documentary, I don't know what the right term for that is, was both striking and is a moment that has remained with me since.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that because that was another case of trying to find a way to express feelings, to really give Paris's story an opportunity to feel well-rounded and not just be a talking head or, you know, another background of books. And to be able to put her back in the moment was something that I think really evoked some very strong feelings, as you said, which is absolutely what we're targeting. That's absolutely what we strive for.
Paris herself mentions this, that she is, at least her public persona, is very much a character and has been that case all throughout her life. And I think one of the side effects of that is that I think really easy for audiences to forget that some of the trauma she was describing didn't just happen to a character, but happened to a young teenage girl.
We're all animation nerds here in general. I mean, even though we have a broad toolbox that we tap into, I think the thing about animation is I will inevitably, every couple of months, I will engage a client who will refer to animation as cartoons. It drives me nuts. I don't know why that language is still out there, but animation as a way to tell stories, just like any other method, can be as over the top or as intimate as you choose to make it. And that can come both from the style of what you design to how you want it to move on screen. What's exciting is finding the right amount of animation that tells the story that you want to tell, because we've done amazing work that is so expressive and just fills the screen and fills your imagination. And then we have done very, very small and very, very slow and very, very thoughtful animation that can be equally powerful.
I want to shift gears a little bit and think about something you alluded to at the start of our conversation, which is your leadership persona and how you lead and why you lead the way you choose to lead. What's one of the hardest decisions you've had to make as a leader?
any company that's been around as long as we have is going to face its share of adversity, and it's going to come in a lot of different ways. It's funny, whatever I talk long term about our company, it's hard to not look at the pandemic as a bit of a touchstone for us, because a couple of things happened during the pandemic. Obviously, the entire way we did work, the entire way the business world behaved changed overnight. And then in a strange way, it also was probably the driving factor in our growth. I think when people were all of a sudden unable to experience things in real life and be on set and shoot live action, post-production took on an urgency that enabled us to grow our relationships and actually do a lot more work than we would have likely seen during that period of time. I'm very excited to say that as a company, we've grown year over year. The rocket ship that occurred between 2020 and 2022 for us was kind of, I mean, it was amazing and overwhelming at the same time.
Yeah.
What else could you say as far as like, how do you build a business that you can no longer be in person with your employees anymore? Have a company that was not constructed to be remote and make it remote overnight and keep continuity and keep people feeling like they were not going to lose their job, that the world was not closing in on them, keeping people engaged when things were kind of scary and slow at the beginning, and then keep them motivated when 10 times the amount of work we normally saw happened overnight and we weren't technologically ready to take on that capacity. I don't know if I've ever faced as much adversity as I did during those early months, trying to make sure that I had a team that felt cared for, also pushing them to deliver in a time frame and in a challenging environment that they were in.
It does feel like from the outside, storytelling is evolving rapidly from a new technology perspective. Is that actually true?
I think it's all evolving quicker each year. I remember many, many years ago, part of a content initiative that we did, we were discussing Moore's Law, which is quicker and smaller and quicker and smaller. And I believe a couple of years ago, we actually broke Moore's Law. That just shows like how quickly things are evolving for us. And I think because that's happening, I think people are becoming a little bit more fearful than they may have been of technology maybe 10, 20 years ago. I think there's always been a sense of be careful about opening Pandora's box about technology. Yeah. I think AI has amplified that to a little bit of a hysterical place right now, personally. I think that AI is going to enable us to do some pretty incredible things. And Versus is very, very eager to be participating in that evolution. We've already done a few incredible engagements. We partnered with OpenAI to create a short film for the Tribeca Film Festival. My partner Justin and our director of post-production Brian both recently spoke at Adobe Max on the practical usage of AI in creativity, which, you know, I thought they did a phenomenal job. What we're seeing, though, from AI is a lot of fear that it's going to take over our jobs. But in reality, it's like software. It's a tool. It's all about the person that's going to be utilizing it. And I think the same people that were afraid of moving from Paintbox to After Effects, you know, have now evolved to the people that are afraid of moving from After Effects to Runway or whatnot. I think there's always going to be hesitation and concern, but at the end of the day, great artists use the tools that are at their disposal to create great things. I'll also say that there are tools that are being built right now that we're utilizing that are more traditionally in the post-production space, such as real-time animation, where you can use motion capture to bring a lot of the characters that we've created to life in real time for experiences, which is a natural evolution for where we're going creatively, where there's less concern about the 30-second video and there's more desire to be in person, doing activations, putting the product really in someone's hands. To be able to match those worlds and bring like an animation component to a real life encounter is so thrilling to me. It's so exciting to be opening up that toy box right now. That to me is something that over the next year or so, I can't wait to bring that out from behind the scenes and to explore it with our clients.
you dove into exactly what I was thinking, which is what excites you most about the future of storytelling in general, and then the future of verses. And it sounds like you've just mentioned some of the stuff you're excited about in the short term. But if you look at like a 5-year horizon, what comes to mind in terms of what really excites you?
The open-mindedness that our clients are having these days about not leveraging all of their budget to create a 30-second spot and a 15-second cutdown is really exciting to me. I think the more we can bring visual elements into a real experience, that really excites me. I think sports and the world of sports excites me a lot right now. I was recently in Los Angeles when Intuit Arena opened. It's the new Clipper Stadium, which is like a marvel of technology. And it opens up so many opportunities to use what we do best to really, really engage fans in a very of the moment way. That kind of work really excites me. Sports is obviously a very easy thing to point towards as far as being able to engage people in real time, because it really is the one thing that has kind of seen through all of these dips in the market and you know, consolidation of places. You have large companies cutting back their teams, but sports is just growing and growing and growing. And you're seeing it reach and expand in areas everywhere, whether it's new sports like pickleball, to the fact that now we're enabling college athletes to take more control over their careers. You know, whether it's new or an expansion of the old, I think sports is an exciting place for us, but it's not the only place where in-person experience can be tapped into. And so I get just as excited about the opportunity to be at a place like Adobe Max or to create things of our own where people can engage with one another. One of the initiatives that we do here at Verses is we're one of the co-founders of a twice-yearly event called Assembly, which is ultimately a entertainment and brand networking event that we do in New York and in Los Angeles. It's not over the top. It doesn't have a million bells and whistles as far as like the content that we create for it. It's much more intimate, and it puts people together in a way that I think we're all sort of growing apart. This is a place where people can come back together. And that kind of experience also excites me, because it gives you a real sense of the people and that you're working with outside of the context of their project.
Is there anything that you'd want to share with our audience that I didn't just ask the right question for you to get across?
There's something I can say that speaks both to Verses and then me probably as an individual that I can't say that I've necessarily, I'm sharing it with my team right now via this podcast, but it's definitely something that I've said to my children very often, which is be curious, not furious. People are very quick these days to attack situations rather than counter them with curiosity. And I think as a culture within this industry, there's a little bit of combatism that takes place sometimes between partners, whether they're on the Verses end or the client end or whatnot. And I think you have to get into another person's shoes. You have to be curious about why a person thinks the way they think, as opposed to judge them based on what they say first. As a whole, I think our cultures move towards an absolutism that is very dangerous. And I think that people's opinions are now their personal facts. And I think when we let that take root and we don't get into why people think certain ways, we can't really get to the heart of why we're in conflict. And I think that is applicable on a personal level, and I think that's applicable on a consumer and cultural and commercial level. I think the more we understand that beliefs are not all deep-seated and that they can be complex and that they can have room to grow or change, the more we tap into that, the more we get to a much better place within our projects, within our creativity. And we unlock doors we didn't even realize that we could.
Thank you for tuning in to this inspiring conversation with Rob Myers of Verses. And even more, thank you for being a listener to Venture Visionaries. It's hard to believe that this is our second year in existence. How time flies. I recognize that your time is precious and that you choosing to spend it with us, even for this little time, is a gift, one that we deeply appreciate here at Venture Visionaries. As we close out the year,
My deepest hope for you, my dear listeners, is that you have moments of rest, moments of rejuvenation, and most importantly, moments of connection with people you love and who love you. Here on Venture Visionaries, I get to talk to founders building some of the most exciting businesses on the planet. And yet I firmly believe that the most exciting venture of all is the life we build for ourselves. I hope you're visionary with yours. I'll see you next year. As always, I'm Thomas.